Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, Chicago comedian Dion Cole has a new Comedy Central special. It's called Dion Cole, Cold-Blooded Seminar, and it's premiering this weekend.
There was a middle seat open next to me. I ain't want none of them sitting there talking to me the whole damn flight. So I had to turn my blackness up. Oh, yeah, white people, that's something we do. It's called managing your blackness. See, white people, y'all can be white all day long. Black people can't be black all day long. Society don't play that. It's messed up. But we have to choose throughout our day when to be black and when not to be. It's crazy. That black dude you work with, that ain't how he really act. That is not the real James.
It's Cole's first hour-long special for the network, and it's going to air Saturday night at midnight. Dion Cole's having a great year, from writing and performing on Conan to playing Charlie on Black-ish to Steve Carell's Angie Tribeca to the latest Barbershop movie. Dion Cole is blowing up. It's a long way from getting up on stage at All Jokes Aside on a dare. Dion Cole, welcome to The Download.
Thank you so much. How you doing, brother?
Good, good. I'm very thankful that you took some time out to talk to us this week. You know, obviously the news today and this week has been that the ultimate closing of Jokes and Notes, Southside Comedy Club at 47th and King. Talk about Jokes and Notes, and, you know, when you hear that news being out in L.A., what comes to mind?
Oh, man. Shout out to Mary Lindsay and Todd Chicago Comics. I mean, it's just one of them things, man, where, you know, you have to progress and you have to grow, you know. You have to, you know, look at what's been done and see what you can do better. And so, you know, making moves is a part of life. One door closes, another one opens. And, you know, hopefully other comics as well, they're about to fill the void of not having a very well ran establishment as far as to work material out and to do stand up. And, you know, I think that's needed in order for everyone to get their stuff together and, you know, become great like they're supposed to be, you know. And that's what I think as far as from a comic side. And hopefully the comedy stays at a high level. Hopefully it does, instead of it becoming, everyone becoming bar comics. And that's what I don't want everybody to become, because you're performing for those people instead of having those people come into your world. Don't give the people what they want, have them come into your world. So hopefully that still remains. Chicago is, and everyone knows, one of the greatest areas for stand-up. And we just want to keep that going. So Mary has made everyone, including myself, she's made a lot of great comedians' careers, and I'm quite sure her next move is going to be her best move, and I can't wait, which it's going to shock the world. It's going to be great what she's going to do.
Well, talk about the importance of having mics like that, open mics or comedy clubs, to up-and-coming comedians, because like you just mentioned, when you say, you know, the fear is that they'll just become bar comics, talk about what that means.
Well, bar comics are comedians that go into a rowdy bar and they say and do whatever they got to do in order to get people's attention. It doesn't mean they necessarily are there for comedy. It's like they're at a place where comedy is at. So therefore, they can talk, listen to music, mingle, smoke cigars, do whatever they want, because that environment isn't specifically made for comedy. So therefore, you'll have a harder time. Now, for a comic, instead of you doing the material that you would like to do, you would have to probably do other material in order to get people's attention, in order to get people to pay attention to what you're saying. You're going, you're performing, the blender's just as loud as you are, and people are coming in and out the door, and people's looking at people coming in and out the door. And there's so many distractions that it keeps you from focusing on what you should. I just don't want it to be that way, because then comedians are all start performing like that. And then once that happens, then you got a new generation of comics that's thinking that that's the right way to do comedy.
Right.
And it's really not. So that's what I mean by bar comedians. I don't really want everyone to be that way.
Talk about your career coming up in Chicago. I mean, I kind of teased at the beginning about getting up on stage as a dare, but talk about how important Chicago was for you as a stand-up comedian, you know, in your days of learning the craft.
It was very important because it was about originality. It wasn't like I was going out like, well, I want to tell jokes. It wasn't like that. I knew I had something to say, and I knew that I can say it in a unique way. And I was looking at how everyone else was delivering their material. It is some of the most unique comedians in the game that's in Chicago. Muhammad, Corey Holcomb, D-Ray, and like this is another guy by the name of Flashlight that's funny, and all these great comedians that came out of Chicago, man. Some who got breaks and some who didn't. And, you know, like when I was coming up, there was a guy named James Hanna. He was a great writer. Shay Shay, fantastic writer and comic. And all these comics have their own identities and their own perceptions on what was going on in the world. And Duran Howard and Kenny Howe and Tony Schofield and, you know, just people that I looked up to. And, you know, that's what it was. And Godfrey was another great comic who had a unique way and a unique perspective. And now I think everyone's just trying to be funny. And it's nothing really unique. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot of great new comics that's coming in the game. I'm not saying that there isn't. But the majority of people coming in the game, they're just being funny, and that's it. Nothing it takes more than that than just to be funny and tell jokes. You also have to let people know what kind of person you are.
Right.
You have to be believable about that. You know, you can't just be going on just telling jokes, you know. Like another comment that I like right now is Mark Henderson. He's hilarious, great comedian. And, you know, he writes, he's a great writer. I think he would be great in late night. And he's doing this thing. Actually, I'll be in Chicago this weekend bringing some executives from TBS. And we're looking for diversity. We're looking for great comedians and looking for someone that we can possibly build a show around, hopefully. So, yeah, we'll be there this weekend, the 24th, at Jokes and Notes. And we'll be looking at an array of comedians and, you know, just trying to bring some diversity to TBS and TNT. And, and I think Chicago has that.
You've had such a great career on both sides, being in front of the camera and being on stage, but also as a writing career, writing for Conan and other places. I mean, there's a great story you tell about early on in your stand-up career getting called up for Def Jam Comedy and not having enough material. The idea that, you know, a set is, you know, the how far we've come. You've got an hour-long special here. But the idea of that, it's more than 15 minutes. Talk about how important it is for a comic to be a writer as well.
That's what it's about. It's about being a great writer and then having a stage presence to deliver that material in a way that's unique, different, and has a very spin perspective on certain things. You know, some things you have to go through in order to make it. You know, if it wasn't me not having enough material and getting kicked off the Def Jam tour, I probably wouldn't be the writer that I am today, because that fueled me to become who I am. But, you know, you need people to push you as well. And I think that's one thing Chicago comics are lacking now. They're not looking up to no one. I mean, I think they are. I think they're looking up to comics like myself and Corey Holcomb and other great comics or whatever. And, you know, I think they're doing that, but there's no one there that's going to mentor them and get them going. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem, I think. I think, like, when we were in Chicago, like, Bernie Mac would come around all the time and, you know, come kicking, and just seeing him around just sparked the fire in everybody, like, oh, like, he's here now, like, we can be like him.
Do you see yourself? Is that something that you feel like you want to take on that role for younger comedians, to be the Bernie Mac of this generation?
I would love to be that for Chicago comics, you know, but I think a lot of Chicago comics, they're kind of prideful sometimes. Like, I don't know if I'm an inspiration or not. To a lot of comics, I do hear that I am, and they tell me, man, you inspire me a lot, and this, that, and the third. But the majority of them, I don't hear that from. I don't know if I do inspire them or not. So I have no idea. But that was the thing when we were coming up. We used to tell Kenny Howell and George Wilborn and Dale Gibbons, and we would tell them, like, man, you inspire so much. We just want to be like y'all. We want to do like y'all. We, you know, we looked up to them. Now I think everybody's trying to act like they're really good, and they they work and they're chilling.
It's sort of false confidence, right?
Yeah, it's like, no, if you like, you need to pay homage to the people that paved the way for you, and then they'll reach back for you. But as long as you acting like you great already, then why would I book you?
Well, I mean, for you, I mean, you have been a trailblazer in the way that, I mean, you're a writer on late night television. I mean, obviously working for Conan O'Brien. Being a stand-up who makes that transition into a writer's room, which is arguably, I mean, those are writers that come from backgrounds at Harvard, or maybe they're already in some sort of a late-night sketch comedy kind of writing program or whatever it might be. There's not always that transition from stand-up to writer's room. Talk about that, because that's really also a trailblazing, especially for an African-American comedian.
Yeah, I mean, me being the very first African-American writer for Conan was, like, amazing. And, you know, just what I think it is the fact that there's the lack of opportunity. And if more African-Americans had the opportunity, if someone just chose them like I was chose, like Conan didn't have me submit any material or nothing that he just hired me because he had a good feeling. He had a feeling. It was a vibe that he had for me. And he was just like, I definitely would like to have you work for me. And he did. But if it wasn't for that opportunity, none of this would be happening because someone believed in me, you know, and that's what it has to happen. It has to have someone believe in you. And that's why I was saying earlier about having some type of mentorship in Chicago. I mean, to have even someone believe in a comic to be like, man, you're funny. Keep doing what you're doing. That goes so long. So it goes a long way for people. And so, you know, just that alone is great. So, I mean, just to have somebody there to help you and to push you along, that's another great layer too. And, you know, that's what I think everybody misses. And late night, as far as writing is concerned, if it wasn't for that opportunity, then none of this would happen. So, I mean, for me to also go from behind the camera to in front of it, it was a transition that was basically already there because, you know, I already had that instilled
in me.
Yeah,
you were on stage, right.
You know, yeah, for me being on stage. So,
How special is it to have this Comedy Central, you know, special that's coming up, the Cold-Blooded Seminar? This is your first hour-long for the network. You know, Comedy Central has been such a big part of stand-ups and putting stand-ups on television. How important is it for you? How special is it to be a part of this?
It's very special. It's my first hour special. Should have been out a long time ago. It's way overdue, but I've been so busy doing so many other things. But at the same token, timing is everything, and this is a great time to put this out in the midst of the season finale of Blackish, the movie Barbershop, the premiere of Angie Tribeca. All of this within a 2-month radius was the timing was perfect to do it. So it's fantastic. Shout out to Comedy Central for giving me the opportunity and letting me get down and be free and do whatever I wanted to do. So it's been exciting, and I'm glad to have this opportunity.
The special airs this weekend, Saturday at midnight. It's called Dion Cole, Cold-Blooded Seminar. It's the first hour-long special for Comedy Central. Dion Cole, as he mentioned, I mean, a tremendous, tremendous couple months, if not the last couple of years. Dion Cole, everybody here in Chicago is proud of you. And continue the great work, and thanks for joining us tonight on The Download.
Thank you so much, bro.